Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. We're going to go get right into it. Chaplain John Durden is teaching tonight. There will be no interruptions, no questions, and no answers. For the next 1 hour and 45 minutes, I give you Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. Again, this is Brother John speaking at you. Brother John. Tonight, I guess the other night, I was listening to a session going on with the brother there, and some folks wanted to know about prophecy. You know, they didn't quite understand it. They know that God's speaking to us, but they didn't understand completely what prophecy is. As you all know, the Holy Spirit, where Jesus told us the Holy Spirit will give us 9 gifts, you know, while he's gone, and they will not cease or suspense until he returns. And, you know, and those gifts were healing and revelation knowledge and discernment and tongues, interpretation of tongues, and all those 9 gifts. Well, those gifts are still relevant today. They have not ceased. I'm just mad that I didn't learn that until I was about like 40 because I was taught all those years, all they were saying to me and all the churches I joined, they all said to me was, we have his written word. That's all I was taught all those years. But, you know, God pulled me out of that mess because he wanted us to know the whole word. If we have his written word, then we need to do what the written word says. We ought to know what it says. But anyway, for those who don't know me, again, I am John Durden. And I'm a retired, two positions. I'm a retired personnel director for the federal government with the military. For 30 years, I had federal employees for different jobs on that military base out at Fort McPherson here in Atlanta, Georgia. And then when I retired, about 2 years prior to my retirement, the Lord called me to the ministry. And so I went to seminary, and I was in seminary for 3 years. And during those 3 years, I obtained 2 master's degrees. One was in human counseling. That was in Christian counseling. That was after 2 years of completing the classes. And then the third year, which is the last year, at the end of that year, I received a master's, in theology. As a result of the theology degree, I was hired as a hospital chaplain. And I didn't know about the vacancy, anything like that. And before I know it, they called me from the base and said, sir, we understand you're a chaplain. I don't even know nobody over there at Fort McPherson. But that was God doing. God says, because he gave me a scripture a long time ago. It said, don't you know I have a plan for your life? A plan not of calamity, a plan to give you a problem. But when you seek and search me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And so I felt the leading of the Lord, but I didn't know exactly what he was saying to me because I wasn't used to hearing and understanding when he was speaking to me. I didn't know it was him. I didn't know it was my flesh. I didn't know it was the world or the devil. So I had a hard time trying to figure out when God was speaking to me and when he wasn't. So with that being said, I have 3 master's degrees. And like I said, I worked for the federal government 30 years and worked as a chaplain for 20 years. Now, without any delay, I want us to go into, well, it was one of them, salvation. I was one of those fellows who thought because I was a deacon in the church for 20 years, I was tithing. And then on first Sunday, I would go all over the city. Me and 12 other deacons would go and visit the sick and the shut-in that lives within our perspective, in our area, you know. And so I did that, you know, about 10, 12 years. Going to the sick and the shut-in on first Sunday so I could take communion. But God called me, into that ministry, and you know, it's amazing. I wasn't planning on being a chaplain or anything like that. I just wanted to be a personnel administrator, but praise God, you know what he's doing. Because he said in Revelation, Jeremiah 29:11 says, don't you know I have a plan for your life, a plan not a calamity of problems. But I have a plan for you. I got a future and a hope for you. And when you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you. And God woke me up in the middle of the night and told me I was going out to the base there the next day. And I'm going, what for? No question. I just felt a strong lead, like I better take my tail out there. Like since I didn't need to go. And just so happened, that was back in 1970. And when I walked in the door, just so happened, see, God knows everything. They had 300 people working for them, 300 people working at that employment office, and not one was African-American. And when I walked in the door, it sounded like everybody's having a party. Lord, look what just walked in. A nigga. And one of them slipped out there. Oh, I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. And so I had the interview, and I got the job and ended up being there 30 years. So, again, I got three master's degrees, one in human resources, meaning personnel administration, one in Christian counseling, the other one in theology, where I became a counselor and a hospital chaplain. So, let me see. I think I want to say a prayer. Let me say this prayer. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus of Nazareth, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I pray that the Holy Spirit empowers me to teach your word with simplicity, classity, and clarity, and boldness. And may our minds be alert and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, would move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief, discord, and vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son. And I pray that your words bring salvation to those who don't know, think that just going to church every Sunday is salvation. I pray that salvation will come, healing, and deliverance to all here in your presence today. And Lord, I say deliverance because there are some listeners who might be can't quit smoking no matter how hard they try, and they're doing something that's not biblical, that they're hiding but can't rid themselves of it. And that's just a symbol of a signal of deliverance needed. Okay, so in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, I thank you. I give you all the praise and all the glory. You know, the Bible talks about how God talked to us and the Holy Spirit to communicate with us. And there are nine, you know, listings that is listed in the Bible about the way God communicate with us. But, you know, I don't have time for all nine ways God speaks to us. So I prayed and I decided I wanted to do not nine, but five. Now, here's the five. Now, these gifts are in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. You know, you say, some I give prophecy, and some I give the gift of knowledge, and some I give the gift of tongues, some I give the gift of interpretation of tongues, some I will give the gift of the word of knowledge, and some I give the word of wisdom, these kinds of things. And boy, that was a joy. Now, you know, I wasn't aware of that. And when I was in my 20s, and when I was in my 30s, and when I was in my 40s, that's pitiful. You know why? Because unfortunately, that preacher I was sitting in Olympia down in Savannah, Georgia, oh, he just go, yeah. All he did with this whole group, he wasn't teaching the dog one thing. Every now and then, when he teach from the Bible, he just teach elementary stuff. Now, with that being said, I know some of you who hooped him, how dare he say that? I'm sorry. But the Bible, God says, if you look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when he called apostles together, he said, go and teach and preach my word, you know, and lay hands on the sick and these kinds of things. He didn't say, go and grab my apostles and hoop and see who gets beat a hoop of the year and stuff like that. He didn't say that. He said, just preach and teach my word. Lay hands on the sick. That's what he said. And they'd be healed. And you can let the Holy Spirit lead you in wisdom and prophecy and everything else so you can repeat what the Holy Spirit telling you to tell those congregations that you visiting and stuff like that. Okay? So I said, all right, Lord. So I'm going to talk about the ones I pick is the one where it talks about how the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaks to us. How the Holy Spirit and the Lord speak to us. But the title of the session tonight is called How God Communicates with Us. But because from the last session, everybody requested that they want to know more about prophecy, I said, well, okay. And if Mr. John, can you do that? I said, yeah, I'll teach on prophecy. But when I was studying the word, I said, wait a minute. If I teach on prophecy, that's just one of the gifts out of nine. I said, I'll be through in 30 minutes. I got an hour and a half to go. And I go, yeah, hot diggity dog. So I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to teach on, not teach, but just share on four other means how God communicate with us. I say, hot dog, thank you, Holy Spirit. So I just don't have to talk just about prophecy. I can talk about how he speaks to us through how he uses prophecy, how he uses knowledge, how he uses gift of tongues, and how he used the word and the word of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Amen and amen and amen. All right. Okay, hold on. All right, now. I think I want to read a chapter, not a chapter, but the scripture right now. Let me go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. All right, Bible, act right on me. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Right there. Okay, here we go. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Mind you, that talks about the different gifts that God gives each one of us as fathers of his, as counselors of his, as chaplains of his, as ministers of his, and especially as followers of his, those who are born again and spirit-filled with the Holy Ghost. And he has ordained all apostles on down to us that we're supposed to, how we can help us, ourselves, and how we can get people and followers in the years to come to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. He says, and then plus the demons, you know, he says Satan is out, got kicked out of heaven. He's in the second heavens. That's the heavens where above clouds and skies. You got the clouds and the sun and the moon. That's the first heaven. The second heaven is where those rockets go, where the planets are supposed to be. That's where demons hang out. After a third of them, Hank got kicked out of heaven along with Satan. All right. So what I want to do is tell you what the Lord told his apostles before he was ascended into heaven back home. I know he was happy, but down here from the time he was born until the time he was 33, and God brought him back home. Wow. All right, here's the scripture. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And these gifts are relevant for us today. Don't go around here talking about that's not for us. That was in Jesus' days. We're in the first century now, and those stuff passed when Jesus left. Ain't nothing said it's going to pass when Jesus left. It says they're going to stop when he comes back. Because we need these gifts. That's how God communicates with us. We can't beat no demons. We can't beat Satan. We have to know the word and know how to counter. And when we have in spiritual warfare, or when you having when you have an exorcism, better not do that unless you know it. You're supposed to be following the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that tell you what to do. A lot of pastors call us up and they be braggadocious, tell me, I want John to see me cast out this demon, you know, kind of a thing. And so we try to tell him, I said, no, man, you don't want to do that. You're just jealous. I said, I'm not jealous, man, please. Yeah, you're jealous. I'm going to do it. I said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I said, now, first of all, if you in sin, that demon going to strip you naked right in front of the whole church members, going to send you up in the ceiling, right there where all the lights are, and everybody looking at you butt naked, screaming, hollering, talking, John, Brother Emma, take me down. You know, sorry. You only come down when the Lord says you're coming down. I don't have no authority to bring you down. You know, then it cuss us out. You MF and so on, kind of thing. I say, well, first of all, you can't cast out a demon unless you're righteous, because the demons know what you do. The main demon that follow you around is called the familiar spirit. That's a demon that follow you around, know everything you're doing. They take it back to Satan. Then Satan will anoint somebody, designate somebody, a demon who specializes in that sin that you just love and can't get to, and he gets you deeper and deeper and deeper. And how you know you're being kind of affected by a demon is when you know something you're doing and you say, I'm stopping, and every time you turn around, you find, I've been saying that for a whole year. I've been saying, I'll leave that woman alone. I'll leave that man alone. I'll quit stealing an offering out the plate. I'll quit masturbating. I'll quit smoking. I'll quit weeding, you know, and all that stuff. And when you can't do it, and you say, oh, you've been doing it too long, and you let that demon in, kind of a thing. But I'm not here to teach demonology. Okay, now our scripture, because I said out of the nine gifts, I want to discuss the gift of prophecy, 1; 2, the gift of knowledge, 3, the gift of tongues, 4, and the word of wisdom, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, here we go. This is what the word of God says. The title of it, you know, to get to have these subtitles over these scriptures, the use of spiritual gifts. Folks, that's our weapon. Don't let nobody. See, that's how you got people killing each other, raping people, because you know what? They're not being delivered. Because every time you say something, you must be able to get that dude stupid, ain't no demon, dumb sucker, you know, pitiful. They're still around. A spiritual being can't die. And God kicked some in hell because they were really the worst type. But the rest of them came down down to earth along with Satan, the father of Satan. Satan made promises, and I'm going to make you a beast. I'm going to make you do this. Come on down with me. And a third of those angels, stupid, gave up their livelihood and eternal life with Jesus. They're going to be in the pit in the forever and ever. Spiritual beings don't die, just like our spirit. When we have our funeral, our body's in the casket, rotting. But the real, real you, is the angels say, especially like I said, you die at home. And, you know, you just boop, boop, and you die. Everybody praying, oh, she's gone, he's gone, you know, kind of a thing. And then that angel walk right in the room, and you can see, just like my grandma, just when she died, she said, I see my angel. And I go, what are you talking about? We were about 14 of us in that room. She said, he's here to take me home. And I go, what'd you say, grandmama? She said, I said, the angel standing right here asking me if I'm ready. And then she stopped talking to us. She said, yes, I'm ready. Spoke to the angel right in front of us. She said, yes, I'm ready. And our head just turned to the side and she passed. And then to make it even real, when that angel was taking her out, curtain in the window kind of blew, like a little window, it wiggled like somebody had a fan. And I said, oh, Lord, grandmama gone, you know, kind of a thing. But it's real. It's real. It's real. Now, here's the scripture for tonight. We're talking about four of the nine gifts. And these four gifts talked about how God communicate with us. Okay? All right. Here we go. It says, now, talking about 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I'm starting at verse 4. Start with 8, but I'm going to start with 4. It says, now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit talking about. There's a lot of gifts, y'all, but it's the Holy Spirit that's going to pan them out to who he wants. He's going to give some people the gift of teaching, some the gift of teaching, some the gift of healing, some the gift of preaching, some the gift of all gift of miracles, some the gift of tongues, I have the gift of miracles and some the prophecy and so forth. And I said, wow. You know, and I didn't believe all that because for the 20 years I was a Methodist down in Savannah, Georgia, we have a written word. And then when I came up here and joined another church, it wasn't method, it was another one. I don't want to offend anybody, but we have a certain word. Yeah. And never taught anything about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Never, never, never. And so it's just basic theology. The Lord loves you. Yes, yes, yes. You know, just basic stuff. Some are really good and some are really intelligent. But they all never address the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and that's our weapon. In other words, suppose you join the military. Wouldn't you feel stupid if you joined the Marine Army? Or something like that, and they're going to send you overseas so you can fight the Russians or the Germans. And what they give you a BB gun, a slingshot. And you go, hey, wait a minute, I'm supposed to have grenades. I'm supposed to have machine guns. I'm supposed to have AK-47s and all that. Well, you give me water pistols. This thing ain't no good against military guys. Them guys got grenades. They got bombs. They got machine guns. They got everything you can think of. They even got mines underground, so if you walk on it, it'll blow your butt away. You trying to walk over to the territory and you get off your big old warship and you go charging up the hill and those enemies have landmines all covered up and you go running, boom, and millions and hundreds of soldiers lost their legs and feet even before they begin fighting because they jumped off the ship and running up the hill to go see where the Japs are hiding and all that stuff and blow their arms and legs off. Some go through the woods and step in mines that's hidden under sand and blow their foot and feet off. We can't beat the devil with just talking, you know. Yeah, you'll be healed. That devil, you devil, come out that woman. I hear you growling. So, no, that don't work. Not at all. Okay? All right. So here's the scripture. Talking about the gifts. Like I said, the primary gift I'm talking about is prophecy because that's what everybody asks for. But since I got an hour and a half, I can add three more gifts that how God speaks to us. Now, here's the scripture. Now, there are varieties of gifts. But the same Spirit, which means that the Holy Spirit got these gifts, and he's looking at you, watching you, loving on you, and say, I'm going to give her the gift of healing. I'm going to give him the gift of this. I'm going to give another the gift of speech. I'm going to give another one the gift of music. I'm going to give the other one the gift of communication and prophecy and nothing tongues and interpretation tongues and all these things. And here it is. For to one, talking about the Holy Spirit, is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another, the word of knowledge. I'm going to explain what that is, the word of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. We say the same Spirit, that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. Give that person a gift of word of knowledge so they would know specific things. When they ask for it, the Holy Spirit reveals whatever knowledge they're asking for so that person won't be confused, or that person won't be misused and all these other kinds of stuff. So For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. Say through the Spirit, that means by the Spirit. And one is going to be given another a faith. That's how some people can lay hands on them and tell them, I believe God told me. And they wouldn't say that because they really have faith and knew God touched them. And they can lay hands on somebody and that person healed. I've seen it many times and, you know, in my non-denominational church, you know, and persons pray for me to have cancer on breast because they got the notice. And the pastor would call a couple of women up, you know, and they lay hands on her breast. She said, yeah, she got a lump right there, pastor, and stuff like that. And pastor said, folks, I know y'all think I'm crazy, but I got to do what the Lord says. And there's two types of faith, I want to tell you. There's one faith where you believe in Jesus as the Lord is saving you. Consequently, you say it because you believe he's the Son of God. But the other type of faith is when somebody walk in there and say, I want to be healed. I got cancer. I got this. I got that. Would you lay hands on me, minister, and pray for me so I can be healed? Well, you have a lot of them. Yes, yes, yes. Be healed. Lord, pray for you. Lord, bless this child. Lord, bless this man. And so on and so on. And the person had that thing for the next 5 years. But there's one other kind of believer say, you know, I believe the word. The word says you have faith, but you got to really have faith. I'm not talking about faith to get saved. I'm talking about faith to heal somebody. But you don't do it by your flesh, though. You got to be led by the Holy Spirit. So that person sits back and you might say, and the Holy Spirit might say, I'm my child. I love you. You have the gift of faith. You love me. I know you, and you love me. I want you to go and up to the front of the center there and lay hands on that person. They will be healed. And that person got, you know, now the advocate told him, I ain't going up there and make a fool of myself. Be healed. And then everybody look and say, still humping. They go ahead, walk up and down the aisle. And the person can't walk and fall down every time again. Say, I thought he's talking about be healed. You know, and most of the pastors are going to say, I ain't praying for that person because I get to be healed. And then the person get worse and nothing better. I'll look like a fool. Tomorrow, God can't hear him. See, but God does hear. But God will answer your prayer if he know your heart, that you love him more than anything else. And he know that you love him more than any kind of sin. I don't care if it's sex, lying, stealing. I don't care what it is. You ain't doing none of it. But you follow God. See, God said, I can trust her. She loved me with all her heart. I love him. This woman was walking with me all her life and had people try to get him to steal, get him to lie for them on the job, try to get him to cheat. Some of them try to have sex with him or try to have sex with her. And she told him where they can go, that she's a child of God and a body temple. He said, I can use that. So when a person said, I pray for your sister, so-and-so, and they pray for him. And a couple of days later, guess what? I'm here. We're right to the doctor. He said, that lump is gone. That's because a real, 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 real child of God prayed for that person because they had the faith. Like I said, there's two kinds of faith. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God to be saved, okay? And the other faith is just as dangerous. And when you pray, you have to really, really believe. You aren't supposed to be praying. And then deep down say, I hope this prayer works. You know, I hope she gets it. Cause I pray hard as I could. I sure hope, because it'd be embarrassing. I'm up in all these people praying for this woman, this man, and nothing happened. I sure hope ain't not going to happen. You just cancel out the healing that God had for you because you doubt it, you see. Okay, here we go with these gifts again. For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. And I'm going to explain what wisdom is all about and how it works with us. One, he gives the gift of knowledge. Another, he gives the gift of faith. I just got through talking about that. I didn't mean to miss on that one. Some, he gives the gift of healing. I talked about that. And to another, the gift of miracles. And the miracles where I've seen a person walking there with a crippled leg, you know, kind of a thing. I mean, with one leg shorter than the other, about 2 inches. And you know, and I heard about this pastor, so they told me to go. So I went to used to be on Wednesday night. I went there and I sat on the front row. I got there for everybody. I said, I got to see. And the woman, you know, when the priest got crowded with 400 people, it was time for the pray for healing. And the woman had one leg was shorter than the other by 2 inches, for everything from birth. And when you see her walk, you see her body going down and back up and down and back up. And she said, I heard you're a man of God. She said, yes, I am, my sister. Say, what do you want the Lord, not me? What do you want the Lord to do for you? I don't know. Just one leg. I don't know what you can do, you know, because I can't be asking something stupid. Could you pray for me that the Lord will help my leg to grow? I know that sounds stupid, but, I mean, I know God can do all things. And he said, come here, darling. He put in a chair and had her legs stretched out onto another chair, you know, in front of that chair. And he prayed for it, and everybody saw the leg grow 2 inches. Everybody started screaming, hollering, crying in that place. The Lord lifting that other leg by 2 inches, you see. And so he gives some the gift of miracles, another gift of prophecy, and that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. But I'm going to add these other gifts, you know, like wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So to another, the reflecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy. That's the first one I'm going to jump on. And to another, distinguishing of spirits. Distinguishing of spirits, when you got the Holy Spirit in you, and some joker will walk up to you and say something to you, some woman say something to you, your boss, something, guess what? You would know right off whether that person is real or not, whether they're lying to you or not. Whether they're lying to you or not. Distinguishing spirits, there's three kinds. Either you're talking about your own spirit, that's it could be saved or not. You know, you got your spirit, you got to deal because your spirit be telling you what to do and giving you thoughts. Then you have the spirit of the world. Child, we can do this and we can do that. Nobody will know. I mean, shoot, we ain't young, we ain't old. Anytime to act like old folks, we need to party and have fun. You know, and then there's another voice that come to you. That's the voice of God. When I say the voice of God, that means it could be either Jesus or it could be the Holy Spirit or it can be God himself, Father God. And so that's where the gift of discernment come in. God give us that gift to the Holy Spirit, gift of discernment. So somebody say, what you need to do, you need to so. And some deep down say, no. You're trying to trap you and trap you, that's all. He don't love you. She don't love you. She giving you all these things because she want to go to bed with you. And once she go to bed with you, he gone. You know, and the Holy Spirit tell you those things to protect you, you see. But see, everybody walking around preaching, talking about them gone now, that first century, you know. And that's why you get so many people getting killed, going to jail, because the main lesson I wish y'all would learn, if nothing else, to what took me forever to learn, that is because I'm thinking it, I think it's me. And it's not me sometimes. Many times the Holy Spirit, and you know, after I grew up and gotten really full grown in the Lord, then it brought back to my attention that when I was told to do this or do that, that was the Holy Spirit leading me to do it. And I would have got in troubles. You'd have told me who liked me, what supervisor didn't, what supervisor really appreciate me, and this kind of a thing. So the Holy Spirit speaks, God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he speaks to us directly. So what, he gave us the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy. And prophecy, man, when you're a pastor, a minister, a chaplain, or just a person for the Lord, and Lord may use you to go talk to sister so-and-so at the hospital, or so-and-so's, honey, do you know what? I was meditating. Do you know what the Lord told me to tell you? What, sister so-and-so? The Lord said so-and-so, you're going to be healed in 3 days. He's going to heal. Really? I wouldn't lie, honey. I ain't going to lie on the Lord. I ain't going to take me down there. And sure enough, 3 days later, the doctor said, you can go home, honey. This kind of a thing, see? And so he wanted, but the devil don't want us to know that because we fight him with bubble gum and BB guns and water guns. That's what we fight him with. We need to fight him with what? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine somebody sending your son or your daughter to go to Germany or Russia, they fight, and they give them a water gun or a BB gun? You personally probably go in that office with that boss says, and try to beat his behind, more or less kill him. You ain't sending my son over there. You giving a water pistol going to Germany or Russia? You crazy, you know? Well, that's what the devil got us doing. And Adam is like, well, we have his red word. And, you know, all that was for the first century. Ain't no for no first century. That's for us now. The gifts, we won't need it when he comes back because he'd be in our presence. And then we wouldn't have to speak in tongues no more because, well, God's right there to communicate to our spirit, you see. All right. So with that being said, I finally said for the last time, he gave us word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Then he gave us the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, and then the gift of prophecy, and the gift of distinguishing of spirits, and he gave us the gift of tongues and these kinds of things. Okay. With all that being said, I want to get into the lesson, the teaching. We know that in chapter 12 through 14 of Corinthians, Paul deals with the gift, which I just got out of reading, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. And he gives us these different gifts. And what I want to do, for time's sake, I'm just going to elaborate on four of them instead of all nine. I wouldn't have that much. Okay, let me see. I start 7:30, 8:30. So 9 o'clock is my deadline. So I got an hour. All right. In chapter 12 through 14, Paul deals with the gifts of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. I just got to tell you about those gifts that I read. And God intends that these gifts continue. I didn't say and continue until he go back to be with his Father. God intends that these gifts continue in operation until Christ returns. And you know what surprised me? I teach this stuff sometimes, and do you know, so help me God. I don't like to swear on it because you're not supposed to, you're not supposed to swear. Do you know what I get through teaching sometimes? Other times I'll be teaching this stuff. I'll be teaching other stuff about different gifts and all that. Do you know they call me and Brother Andrew, you're a liar. I don't like what you're teaching. I'm going to shut you up. And they call lesson figures and everything else, you know. And I'm going to come down here and ball jack you. And I go, what is a ball jack? And Brother Emmett laughed at me because, you know, he was in the street more than I was, before you guys see. He said, ball jack mean, I'm coming down here and I'm pulling your pants down and I'm gonna make a male bitch out of you, excuse the expression, but I don't want you to know what he really said. He said, he to me will come down and he's going to rape you. And as I'm coming down there, and you better have some lipstick on, have dress on, and a gown on, because I like my faggot to look like a woman. And I'm coming, and you better buy a jar of Vaseline so I can grease you up. And that's how they talk, you know? And you know what that made me realize? That this world is really divided. Just like you got so many millions for Trump, and then you got so many non-Trump. Everybody ain't going to be saved. You're going to have half going to go to hell, and the other half going to be with the Lord. That's why when he come back, the Bible says he bringing back his whole angels with him, all those mighty angels. And then he's going to say, separate them. And them angels, boy, going to be flying all over our heads and everything, separating the believers from the non-believers, from the believers to the pretenders, those kind of things. You see him on Sunday, and when I'm trying to see you, then their voice changed. Hello, my darling. How are you? Bless you, my child. The whole countenance changed, you see. Different spirit. So when I finally woke up, I said, I ain't going to hell over pride, trying to be something I ain't, you know, and lie all the time, stealing all the time, cussing like a champ, and screwing here and screwing there and all that stuff when I was in my 20s and 30s. I finally woke up and said, I ain't going to hell, not me. And then the thing about it, when you die, ain't nobody going there with you. Your daddy, mommy ain't going with you. Your preacher man or your preacher woman or your counselor, you know, all them ain't going with you. You're going by yourself. You got to stand there and look at three godly figures looking at you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then when you go, he says, shut up. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I died for you. I didn't want to die, but my father here said that I had to die. That's the only way you can be saved. Because then nobody down there would save you. And an unrighteous person can't die for an unrighteous person. And I was the only righteous person, so I had to do it. I had to give up my godly attributes and come down there and put on human flesh and take mankind to beat the you-know-what out of me with that belt 39 times. Not only that, he took nails and a hammer and rammed them, rusted nails. Do you know what it's like to have big old 10, 12-inch nail rusty being banged through each foot, huh? Nope. Not only that. But he whipped you so bad, the whip hit you all in your face. No, I mean, just cut the meat out. Every time that whip hits your back or your chest or your face, and when he pulled that whip back, flesh come out with it because on the end of it got metal on it. He did all that for us. Man, when I heard about, you know, when it finally soaked in, boy, I walk out of the backyard and cuss like a champ and say, Satan, you MF, you go to H. I ain't got nothing to do with you no more. You know, it just dawned on me. God did all that for me. All that for me. I said, I ain't going to be stupid like you. You try to be proud, try to be another God up there. I say, God ain't going to say to me, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. I say, my mama ain't raised no fool. My mama ain't raised no fool. I write it down now. Boom. And never turn back. Said, shoot. And then, the temptation gets stronger and stronger and stronger. But every time it does, I just say, hey, man, you can go you can go to hell by yourself. You got 30 angels, but I'm not one of your third angels. You can go to hell all by yourself. You know. So, my grandma ain't raised no fool. I ain't going to hell over some woman or some man or some lying or some stealing or some all kinds of stuff. Eternity is forever in the pit, forever. All right. So what I was saying is that God intends all these gifts he's going to give us to continue until he comes back again. We won't need it when he comes back because, like if you have tongues, he wants to have tongues because what? We're not speaking when we speak in tongues. That's the Holy Spirit. Because I can't speak in tongues in the flesh. But sometimes when I pray and I don't know what to pray about, I say, Holy Spirit, would you pray for me, please? And then I step up and I go, nigga. Shikiryanikata para so kuri ne hechikiyama. Kala para yaneketi piriya shokulita. Katalo yanekete mirisikiyanda. No. Kitaro. Ni kataparosi yaneke lianiko so. And sometimes, like right now, I feel it to do it. It's kind of funny. You say, show another language. And I go, well, I say, and then sometimes I pray, it goes like this. That's another dialect. You know what? When the Spanish people, the Chinese people here speak our English, we sound just like that. They say, what in the world? He or she is saying. See? And all the woman knows the person got interpretation. So sometimes I might be praying and forget somebody behind me, like I'm in the room, in the car or something, I'm praying. And the person turns around and says, I don't know you speak Russian, speak French. I didn't know you speak Italian. I go, what? Say, you speaking, that's my home. I'm from Italy or I'm from Puerto Rico. And I'm praying like, and I'm speaking their language. They're telling me everything. I said, you thanking God for saving you, told God that you're really grateful. And you told God that you thank him for having you to lead your children to the Lord. He said, thank you. My child got saved. My girl got saved at 7. My son got saved at 5 years of age. And, I go, wow. I said, that's what I'm doing. I said, well, that's what I do most every night because now they are 45 and 47, you know. And I said, and they still find the Lord. They love the Lord with all their heart. And each one of them, when they got married, they married a saved mate, you know. So those gifts, the gift of tongues, would God use us. And I think this. The Holy Spirit purpose for the spiritual gifts are as follows. Let me tell you why God give us these gifts. Number one, because by having these gifts, we can manifest the grace and the power and the love of the Spirit among the people. You know, because you might, like some pastors I know got that gift, man. And he said, a lady, you with the green dress on, would you come up, please? And she told me, a couple of them agreed. He said, no, this woman over here. And she come and say, you know what? You was crying out to the Lord because you were sad, and I'm not going to tell the congregation why you were so sad, but it was so bad you think about committing suicide. And that woman started screaming, and they looked and said, how he knew that? And see, that was the Holy Spirit giving them a word of knowledge, kind of a thing, a word of knowledge, sometimes prophecy, because the Holy Spirit says, speak what I tell you. And thought, and then the person starts speaking, he'd be speaking what he or she hearing what the Holy Spirit tells him to say. So the purpose of these spiritual gifts are as follows. One, to manifest the gift, the grace, the power, and the love of the Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit, sometimes God says, I'll pass him. Speaking about it, nobody can hear him talking to the pastor. Yes, Lord. Go over there and tell Sister so-and-so that I love her. Yes, Lord. He'll go over there and say, sweetheart, come up here. She come in. Yes, Pastor. Say, you know what? You've been talking to the Lord. And she said, yeah, how you know? I bet you was wondering if the Lord still loves you, right? Uh-huh. Well, the Lord told me to come over and tell you that he loves you. The girl started screaming, hollering, and then fainted in front of everybody. She couldn't believe it, kind of a thing. So the Holy Spirit, I tell you, is the communicator for God. He's the talk piece between God and mankind. Manifest the purpose of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts, is to manifest the grace and the power and the love of the Spirit, see, among the people in the public gathering, that's the church and wherever they are, in homes. You may be visiting somebody's home. You just meant to visit. And all of a sudden, the Lord said, tell this woman so-and-so. She tell her, it might be your best friend. It might be your sister. It might be your cousin. And when you get through saying what you're saying, it's exactly what the person was crying about before you came in to cover their face up, pretend like they're so happy, and they're just as sad as they can be. They can be thinking about committing suicide or just thinking about just giving up, just running away somewhere. So the gifts will help you in gatherings and when you go visit people's homes, when different families are around your family, picnics and stuff like that, call your grandmama over to the side or call your first cousin there. Over to the side, and then he said, "I tell him this, and you tell him." And the person started screaming, "Man, just run around the house screaming, hollering." Everybody said, "What did you say to that child?" And see, the neighbor over here. That's how it works. It still works like that today. Okay, so But Satan wants you to say, we don't have that. That was back. See, and see what you're missing? See how you can bless people? And then a lot of ministers are saying that. You can't get mad at them. You know why? Because I was one that taught that crap too for a while. And because that's what I was taught. I think because I was a seminary for 3 years, and this so-called doctor who'd been there for 25 to 30 years, been teaching, I figured the joker know what he's talking about. And he told me, tongues have ceased, this has ceased. And then one of them had the nerve to tell me, he said, it was my time to pray at the beginning of the class, you know, like every person got. So you say, Mr. John, it's your time to bring the class into prayer. And when they say, Our Father in heaven, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He said, hold up. And I go, sir, why are you interrupting me and I'm in prayer? Well, I don't like the way you pray. I said, I haven't gotten to the prayer yet. All I just said was, Our Father which art in heaven. Well, that's where you're wrong. We really don't know if our father is not a mother. And I go, excuse me? Well, we don't know. He could be a mother. She could be, you know how back in the early days, women were not allowed to get an education. Women was not even allowed to vote and everything else. But look how far back the Bible went. Well, women didn't have no prestige and anything else. For all we know, God could have been a mother. But those prejudiced bishops and stuff back in them days, they had that hang up about manpower, and so they just say Father God instead of Mother God. I said, you know what? And 30 students were listening to me. I said, you about the stupidest minister I ever heard, especially a man been teaching the Bible for 30 years. What did you say to me? I said, you heard me. You're not deaf. I said, you dumb. To be weak, and you don't know if God is a man or a woman? Well, like I just told you, the writer of the Bible, I said, that was John. But he couldn't have been prejudiced. He back in them days, too. And I said, you know why I call you stupid? I'm going to take that from you one more time, and then you can get out of my class. I said, no problem, because everybody told me not to come here anyway because it's just a cemetery. It's not a seminary. What did you say to me? I said, you heard what I say. All my friends and other family members say, man, most of these schools are nothing but cemeteries, not cemeteries. Yeah, okay. So he said, what make you think otherwise? I said, well, you remember when Jesus, apostles walk up to him and say, Lord Jesus, teach us how to pray. Yes, yes, yes. What about it? I said, what did he say? He said, Alpha. I said, so Jesus said, Father. Jesus wasn't prejudiced. He's the Lord. He's the Lord. And Jesus ought to know Jesus was with him when eternity passed. He'd been with his father all those years, and then when he prayed, he said, "Say, our Father." You think Jesus stupid? If his parent was a female, he would say, "Our Mother, which art in heaven." And if that was it, he wouldn't have been ashamed, because he ain't no prejudice God. But he says he called like it is, our Father. I said, "Well," he said, "Our Father." I said, "Yeah," he said, "Our Father." Now I believe Jesus more than you. And I said, you can have this dead class and walk down. When I got home, the wife said, you got to go back. I go, well, she said, you spent $75 for that class. You know, and if you want to drop out, yesterday was the last day. So you get your money back. But you don't want a day over. You won't get your money back. You don't blow it $75. You need to go back. So that next Tuesday, I went back in there. Everybody looked at me. He said, well, I'll see you back. You know, I said, not to you, sucker. I'm not going to lose $75 over you. So he thought I was so light. Trying to compromise. Don't compromise my tail, you know, kind of a thing. So the purpose of the spiritual gifts is what? To manifest the grace and the power and the love of the Spirit. And also so our families can be blessed and everything else. Another reason the spiritual gifts have been given to us to help make the preaching of the gospel by giving supernatural confirmation to the message. Supernatural confirmation. And here's a holy man, love the Lord. And I know some of you listening, God going to surprise y'all. He got some gift that will just break y'all little bones. Because all he wants you to say is, Lord, because you know what? Ain't never too late till you die. So even those who are righteous and those who are unrighteous, guess what? God say, yeah, listen to my son, my minister John. If you come to me and ask me to forgive you and really mean that and that you love me and you want to turn, I will bless you. I will bless you that you just cannot believe. And that's God, because he's a forgiving, loving God. He don't care what you've been doing. Man, even people, when I used to work as a chaplain in the jail, people for murder in there, people for raping in there, But some of the ones, and they, and when I got to talk to them, they just crying, boo-hooing, they didn't know talk the word and everything else, and they confessed, man, repent right there in front of me, crying, bawling like a child. And even the ones who are going down the aisle, going to the electric chair to be electrocuted. And I'm there walking, and the chaplain of that jail, of that prison, was ministering to the guy, and he said, I didn't mean to do it, I'm sorry. And in the past, he's not saying that because he's going to die. He really repents. He goes, God can tell when a person really sincerely repents. Because sometimes, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me, I repent. I'm going to get to heaven now. You know, and one of the ministers, the Lord said, he hadn't repented. He's lying. He hadn't repented. He's lying. Many times when we've been ministering to pastors and ministers, and just natural born believers listening, because not just pastors and preachers be listen to us. I mean, we got them from all walks of life. We got janitors. I mean, all kinds. And some of them be messing with a child, you know. And you get to, hey, Brother Johnson, shut up. I said, the Lord just told me you are finger screwing a young boy, 14. You finger screwing your son. I mean, your niece. Yeah, your niece or your nephew. And a lot of those guys, we found out in the last year I've been doing this, a lot of these guys became sissies, queers, because they were changed by their uncles. 90% of the guys who come to us and pray and tell me they want to stop having men screw them in the buttons and all that stuff, and they like it and they don't want to like it no more and stuff. And then come to find us, well, how you stop my uncle? 90% of those guys who were queer, their uncle was screwing them while their daddy went to a picnic where they had to go out of town. Or when the wife and the mom and the daddy had to go out of town on a business trip or go on a vacation. But it's a place where you want to go, you can't bring, you know, you can't take a 13, 14-year-old child. So they leave in the care of their brother, you know, her brother, his brother. And they come to find out he was an undercover queer. And turn the child. 90% of the kids who talked to me and Brother Emmett said their uncle did it to them, changed it. They've been doing it to them for the last 2 or 3 or 4 years. Right. So the Holy Spirit can reveal those things to you, see? But if you walk around, hey, and your brother tell me, hey, brother, don't. And y'all love, I'm glad you're back home, man. He said, well, we didn't mean to stay so long. That's okay. Me and my nephew had a good time and everything else. And the nephew ain't going to say nothing because the uncle done threatened to say, if you say you tell on me, I'll kill you. I'll take a knife and cut your throat. A lot of them say that was more than the main thing they tell them. If you tell your mama and your dad, I'll kill you. Or I'll kill your mama. It's frightening the poor child to death. All right. So the purpose of the spiritual gifts, we can read people. God would tell us who's phony, who's right. God ain't going to let you, and if you can hear him, he can communicate to you. But if you can't hear him because you tell me, well, that's not for us today, then you in some terrible trouble because that person you got babysitting for you, ain't going, you don't know what that person is doing. Here's another thing why we have the gift. We need the gift to meet human needs and to strengthen and build up ourselves up spiritually. And we need the Beaver to assist unbelievers as well as believers because we Beaver hear the Holy Spirit manifest one of these gifts through us, you know, the gift of hearing and stuff. And see what else. And also, we need one of those gifts because we always daily have spiritual warfare with Satan or one of his demons. And you know how you can tell? When a thought comes to you, tell me, doesn't she look good? Don't he look handsome? Man, I take up the offering every Sunday. A lot of people put in checks, and a lot of people put in $20 and $50, $100 bills and stuff in there. I can get one of these, couple of these 20s because I want to take the old lady out to dinner after church service. And we caught a couple of them later doing that in our church years back, you know. Because when the lady got a report, she said, wait a minute, pastor, customer, man, I put in $600 this quarter. What you mean I just put in $300? I got the thing right here. And then we say, okay, all right. So we set a trap, and we finally figure out who it was, and then we watch him, okay? So we need to be able to hear the Holy Spirit through these different gifts because he will help us wage effective war, spiritual war against Satan and his evil forces, okay? And then because the Holy Spirit tell you, she don't really love you. She know you're famous and everything else. She know you got all these degrees. She know you the big time doc. She just want to be associated with so she can get some recognition. Child, you mean he like you? Some of them even lie on the preacher. And the chaplains when I was in the hospital and everything else. And tell them, child, he likes me. Now, she's trying to build herself up, but she's ruining the reputation of the pastor, ruining the reputation of the chaplain, ruining the reputation of a good, outstanding congregation, man, that is, or woman. Because he put the bag on your child? Yeah. You know, that kind of stuff, lying. See? And if you a man or woman of God, God would say, sweetheart, sir, sister so-and-so is lying on you. And then you can call to the side and say, now, how would I know that? How do you know that? And if you don't repent, you're going to bust hell wide open. You need to go to that person that you were lying on. You tell them, I'm trying to get in your pants. You go to him and tell him. And then, yes, sir. And he go running, you know, kind of a thing. So another purpose, we have these gifts, like I said, to wage effective spiritual war against Satan and his forces of evil. And then, what else I think is really important, I want to say there are different ways in services that the gifts, that certain gifts involve receiving the activity and power to these people who need help. And that's me. We just really, really, really got to hear the Lord. And I want you to know that the gifts emphasizes the spiritual gifts are a direct manifestation of the working and presence of the Holy Spirit. In other words, let me back up. I say the gifts you started realizing you having, you know, and started showing. I go, what? Where does I know I can do this? Being the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, humbling you, say, this is what you've been called to do. Don't you know what Jeremiah 29:11 says? No, it says, don't you know I have a plan for you, a plan not a calamity or problems, but I have a plan to give you a future and hope. And when you come to me and search with me all your heart, I will bless you and give it to you. Because each one of us have a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11, that's the one he gave me. And say, you in that job right there, you didn't clap for it, but that's the job I had for you. When you went today, that was me leading, because I thought I had a dream. Sometimes I need to go out there to Fort McPherson, pick out see if I can get a job, because I just got out of the military, and then on that I've got a major in personnel administration. And I say, I don't know where I'm going, but maybe I'll go, because when I was in the Army, I found out there's always two personnel offices. There's the military personnel office, and then there's the federal employees, our civilian employees personnel office. When I just felt led to go. And the time I got there was 12 o'clock, and that was a blessing of the Lord, because at 12 o'clock, all those clerical people was out to lunch. The only person who was in there was the boss himself. So when I walked in the door, I didn't have all these postcards. I'm all that from El Omega, you know. And so, well, we're not hiring today. See, and I would have heard all them lying to them. Thank you, ma'am, and walk out the door. See, but when I walk in the door, I walk in and just down here and say, you can't fire me. I've been here 40 years. And so I know I don't have any Negroes. I got 300 people working for me. I don't need no Negro. They're all this steel and they're dumb and stupid as hell. You know, that kind of a thing. I said, oh, Lord, why did I come in here? And then just when I went to turn and sneak back out the door, because he didn't come, he said, but I tell you, if I can find one, just one, that's kind of educated, you hear me? I'll hire him. And I go, okay. So he slammed the phone down. So I back out in the hall, and then I walk in and slam the door. Bam. Hello, hello, hello. And so I talked to him. He interviewed me. But first of all, have you been in jail? You know, have you been in jail? Do you have an education? And all my responses were negative. And the man hired me. And I got a job and working there for 30 long years. Okay, so it's good to hear the Holy Spirit sometimes. But like I said, I didn't know it was the Lord. I thought it was me. And if y'all remember nothing I said, remember this part. When a thought comes into your head and your mind, pick out who it is talking to you. It ain't you because it's in your head. You know, you can think because somebody's in your kitchen, the kitchen belongs to that person, that kitchen belongs to that person. Think about that. When you walk in somebody's kitchen, what the kitchen going to say? What the kitchen boy say? I guess I belong to him because he here gets some water out of the sink. You know, that kind of thing. No. The devil wants you to disbelieve phony stuff. Here we go. There are different ways of service. And there are certain types of gifts that the Lord wants to give you. And these gifts reflect the servant ministry of the Lord Jesus. Hear what I say? The gifts reflect the servant ministry of the Lord Jesus. Jesus is a servant, too, about being a leader. And he had the Holy Spirit. He hooked up with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, I'm going to give her the gift of teaching. I'm going to give her the gift of this. I'm going to give him the gift of this. And I'm going to give this one the gift of that. So, and Jesus, you're the man now, you know, do your thing, you know. And then before you know it, you start dreaming about, you know, I felt the Lord called me to do this, the Lord called me to be a nurse. I felt, you know, and then sometimes somebody comes and says, do you know you can do this? You know, I've been watching you. Well, what you mean? I'm just doing what I know. Well, that's exceptional, man. Nobody knows how to do it. You just know that stuff. You haven't been in school for that, and you know that. Girl, that's a gift. I'm putting you into that job. A lot of people got thrown into other jobs that they didn't even hire. I'm recruited for, but try to get. Because they didn't recognize it because it was a normal thing to them. And they had an outstanding gift of speech, you know, communication and all that other kind of stuff. But they just thought that was natural because they had it all their life. They didn't know that was something outstanding until they stand next to somebody who's average. And then they look like an A instead of a C. See? All right. So it's the Holy Spirit. You say, Lord, you back up here now. So I'm going down there and I've got to give these people these gifts so they can keep the ministry going. So he gives them the gift of this, the gift of that, what I read, you know, the thing. So now, the gift of prophecy. All right, that's going to be 8:30 to 9. Lord, I got 30 minutes to finish. All right, the first one is prophecy, the gift of prophecy. As a ministry, I'm going to tell you what it means, what you do. When you have the gift of prophecy, it's given only to some believers, not all. Some believers, because some believers have more faith than others, you know. Some may trust God for this and not for that. Some may believe some of this, but not at all of that. You know, I might believe chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, but 18 through 28, I don't believe that, you know. I don't know why. That doesn't make no sense to me, you know. So prophecy as a ministry gift, prophecy is given only to some believers. Who must function as prophets. See, honey, the Lord told me so-and-so. Because sometimes the Lord will use you as a prophet instead of a prophet. God said, go tell that child so-and-so. Hey, honey, you know I don't know you, that person, right? Well, the Lord just told me to come over here and tell you need to cut that stuff out. What you mean? What you mean? He said, you sneaking out on your husband. Your mom and them think you still a virgin and you running around with this boy and stuff like that. You don't get pregnant. One like we know personally, you really don't believe in God. You just come to praise the Lord, but in your heart and spirit, you don't believe in God. And then the person made a mistake, and Brother Emmett witnessed this personally. They got in Brother Emmett's face and said, yeah, I believe in God. I said, no, you don't. You know, you don't even let your children go and nothing like that. He said, you don't believe God. He said, I'll tell you what, since you're a Christian, if I'm lying and God strike me down dead, guess what happened? And because they were fussing so much out there right in front of the door, then people walking by them looking and say, oh, Lord, we about to see a fight. And people standing around, and the people in the next house over looking at them on the porch and say, if I'm lying, the Lord strike me down dead now. You also help me, God. Lightning came out of that sky. Wow. And the guy died instantly from a lightning struck. So help me, God. I wouldn't lie. That's what really happened. That's the first time and the last time I ever seen it. I didn't think that's still going nowadays, but I know now. And I know one thing, I ain't going to never confess that may God strike me dead if I'm lying. You know, I'm not lying, but sometimes I may try to exaggerate, and I don't want you to. So God said, John, don't even exaggerate, because that's lying too. I said, oh, Lord. But anyway, so the Holy Spirit give us information about people. Another one, prophecy is a special gift that enables a believer like you and me to have a word, a revelation directly from God under the impulse of the who? Holy Spirit. When I say revelation, God may tell you something that person know and nobody know but him or her. And then you walk up there and say, honey, you need to stop. Who do you think you are? Some overly religious person. You're a religious fanatic. And then when you tell that person what the Lord, the Holy Spirit has told you, that person scream and run. I started crying out and bawling, want to get saved, right? And I had it happen both ways. In most cases, when me and Brother Emma be ministering, a lot of folks be calling us, telling y'all need to shut your mouth. We don't have that stuff no more, so. And y'all don't have coming down to the ball jack here. I say, do you know what I just signed up a ball jack? What does it mean? Because I said, you've been saying it about 4 or 5 times in the last 3 sentences. Ball jack means you plan to come down here in Georgia and rape me and make me a male prostitute. Yeah. I said, sir, you can't touch me, you know. And you're supposed to be a doctor of theology, 50 degrees. And then click, click, hang up on my face. Sometimes he calls, I don't like the way you teach, boy. Let me tell you something. And I say, why are you calling me from the hotel room, so-and-so-and-so-and-so, and you in there with sweet booty or this booty or that booty and everything else? Who told you that? Who told you that? I said, the Lord. Click. That happened about 6-7 times every day, huh? And y'all, so help me God. Prophecy is a special gift that enables believers to have a word or revelation directly from God. And sometimes they'll call us. Like, some going to be stupid, going to call when this thing's over and tell me, I don't like what you said. You said that I don't like it. And I said, that's your problem. If you don't like it, hang up. I didn't tell you to listen to me. Just turn to another channel. You don't have to make yourself miserable by listening to me. Click. Stay over too. You know, that kind of thing. What else about prophecy? Oh, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, prophecy is not primarily fortune-telling kind of stuff. And so, well, that's just fortune telling. No, when I was writing stuff down, God said, no, it's not fortune telling. That's the Holy Spirit telling me something. He didn't tell me something. Are you a witch? Are you in fortune telling? Are you Ouija boards and all that? Said, no, all that stuff caused me to go to hell. It caused me to be possessed by a demon. I see the Lord tell some of us still can't. And now we have this written word. And I just got through telling this stuff. The Lord just told me his personal business that he's in the hotel room right now. He's giving the room number and everything else. And the name of the other man he's screwing, stuff like, and how much money he paid the guy, rather run from $200 to $500, and then he called me a bitch and then slammed the phone in the face. I get scared. He started trembling. Oh, hang up the phone, you know, kind of a thing. And God still speaks, but he speaks to those who are dedicated to him. He don't want no half behind folk walking in the tongue. I can't hear the Lord. I can't speak to the Lord. Now, some of you are righteous and good and loving the Lord. Just keep on trying. God said, I'm just testing her out. I'm going to see just how bad she wants to hear my voice, how bad she wants me to communicate with her. And God has been knocking on the door sometimes. You might be, you'd be goody good shoes for 2 days. And the next 2-3 days, you're raising hell. You're doing all kind of crap, cut somebody out, beating them. You know what out of them. You got to be consistent. But let me tell you, God wants to speak to all of you. God wants to have a personal relationship. That's what he's all about. God don't want to speak to you just through the word in the Bible. You got to read the word to see what he says. God said, I want to have a chit-chat with you. Sometime when you pray, say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, could you help me here? And then when you get to say, and thank you, Lord, I know you're going to answer my prayer. In the name of Jesus, amen. And then you get a word. God said, hey, I got some. Hey. And then you go in the kitchen, start cooking breakfast, whatever. Nah, 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 nah. Hey, come back in here. Yeah. I guess, you know, my sister teased me. That's how she got me to stop and listen. I go, sis, I don't know how you can hear me. I'm tearing. I ain't cheating. I ain't doing this now. For a whole 6 months, I've been like an angel. I ain't even drink no beer. She looked at me and laughed. She said, well, that's because you're not really sold out to him, John. You're searching to him, brother, but you got to love him, really love him, like, He got to live more than you love mama. I said, wow, that's a lot of love for somebody who don't know how to know. That's the problem. You got to get to know him intimately. And then he said, I see he's seeking me with all his heart and soul. And then one day you get down and you say, Lord Jesus. And you hear something say, yes, my son. You go, what? Huh? What? Sometimes you're going to get up and run out of your prayer room because you can't believe what you just heard, you know, kind of a thing. But that's how it works. In both the Old Testament and the New Testament, prophecy is not primarily foretelling the future, but proclaiming, hear what I say, not just foretelling the future, but proclaiming God's will and exhorting and encouraging God's people to righteousness. Sometimes you say, honey, you know, I hope you don't get value, but the Lord told me he loves you. And he said, but you didn't give up. And then she kind of get him back to him. What are you told you I need to give up? I said, just between me and you, you know, you smoke a little bit of weed on the side. How you doing? The Lord just told me, oh, Lord, I repent. So, Mr. John, pray for me. So we pray together. And she said, I give up. I can't hide from God. I can't hide from y'all, but I can't give up from God, kind of a thing. So in both the Old Testament and New Testament, prophecy is not primarily foretelling the future, but proclaiming God's will and exhorting and encouraging God's people to rationally say, you know, God said he loves you, but you need to put this down. You need to stay away from him, or you need to stay from her. He or she means you no harm. I have a problem with you on this particular issue and that particular issue. Renounce it in my name. Yes, Lord, you know. So that's how he used you and me and everybody else. But the only way he can use you is that you got to be Jesus. In other words, loving, forgiving, and for real. not no praise the Lord, child. And then you're ready to beat the you know what out of somebody as soon as they tee you off, kind of a thing. Or talk about somebody's back. I wish I can kill it, but I ain't going to jail over that joker. You know, that kind of thing. I hate him. I hate her. No, just turn it over to the Lord. It is not the delivery of previously prepared sermons. Sometimes people think they can prepare a good sermon and say it to turn somebody. No, you got to be a witness for yourself and go talk and show the Christ. Believers not stupid nowadays. They know the real thing when they see it. They know when somebody is not walking the way. Because no matter what you're doing, somebody going to tell what you're doing. Somebody going to squeal on you already and these kinds of things, you know. So you up there as a deacon, you might be in the choir. Tell them, hallelujah, hallelujah. And he said, but look at that fool up there. Tell them, hallelujah. So sinful joker, you know, that kind of a thing. So, I mean, it's all walk. You got policemen who are crooked. You got the good ones and the bad ones. You got preachers who are the good ones. You got deacons who are the good ones and the bad ones. You got church members who are the good ones and the bad ones. So the congregation is always mixed up. You might have 400, 500, 600 people in that congregation, that church on Sunday. Half of them is not right, and other half love the Lord with all their heart. But that's how it's going to be today in the world. God, when he comes back with his millions of angels, his angels are going to divide them up. So to say he comes down in Georgia, or say he comes down in Alabama, Mississippi, and then he shouts. And then those angels, boy, them warring angels are bad, boy. They make Superman look like a sissy. And they come down there and they go split up the household, everything else, man. A husband and a wife be sitting at the table eating breakfast, and that angel walk in there and say, you go there and you go there. You know, you ain't going to argue with no angel. You're going to lose all your children because all your children are innocent little children, so they're going to go back with the Lord when you go back up to heaven. But he's going to divide the evil from the holy. And that's no lie. The Bible says he come back with all his angels, y'all. Coming back. The first time he come back is just to come back just to wrap us up. He'll come back and start over there. And he'll say, come. And every believer is going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And those in their house, their bodies will be changed. They go right through the ceiling. They're sleeping and God said, come. They go right through the blanket. They won't have to, oh, Lord, and pull it, you know, take the blanket and throw them off. No, they go right through the blanket, right through the ceiling. And when their husband and wife walk in the room and go, honey, get up. They see the bed, the cover door still in the same situation, like, as if somebody leaned in there. And when they pull the cover back, they see nothing. Both mama and daddy don't love the Lord. And they get up in the morning and say, well, get the children up. And then they go in the room and all the children gone. The little baby, 2, 4, 5 years old. The cute little handsome little son, 12, 13 years old, and daughter got that little singing running around there with all the heads. Hey, mommy, mommy. And then that morning when you wake up, say, well, let me go wake my child. Finally, you go in there and see the bed empty. And then you look in the crib, and the crib is empty too, because God done took them all back with him, you see. That's the book of Revelation. Okay. Yeah, so, oh, man, I'm being lengthy. I don't want to talk on one thing too long. So, anyway, the gift of prophecy. Yeah, I know how I can do that. I can condense it this way. I just summarize a lot of stuff I want to say. Okay, with prophecy, because I've been on prophecy too long. Prophecy operates under God's will and not the will of humans, okay? Prophecy, you ain't going to be able to say nothing unless God tells you to say something, okay? And he ain't going to reveal nothing to you unless he can trust you and want you to reveal it to that person. Say, honey, come here. This is confident. The Lord told me to tell you so. Thank you, child. Person, no, you know, you tell the truth because they know you don't know them personally. You don't know what they do at home, that kind of a thing. And finally, prophetic messages are usually for the purpose of. So when a person comes to you, or when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he's speaking to you for these following purposes. Then I go into the other one. It says this. I took a note. It says finally. Prophetic messages are usually for the purpose of, I got 5 purposes when that spirit comes to talk to you and says, for edification of the body of Christ by building them up in the church. In other words, going to build you up and the spirit manifests itself to you so it can just minister that you know that Jesus is real. Jesus really died for you. If you were the only person in the world, he would still die for you. And then he made, he said, exhortation of the body of Christ by calling people nearer to God. In other words, the Holy Spirit may minister you and just shower with your love. And you started getting understanding you never had before. You said, I never saw the scripture this way. See, the Holy Spirit is drawing you more and more to Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's prophecy. And then somebody, but and sometimes God speaks through his word in the Bible. And sometimes you look at it and be like, God speaking right there. See, I could have sworn I heard God, you know, but God is speaking to you through his word. So when you read his word, that's God talking to you there. So we need to recognize when God is speaking to us and repent, because God, you know how I got my sister, every time she walked out the door, you know, she said, God trying to tell you, I know, I've been praying. I said, but you ain't praying in the morning. You can spend about 10 minutes with God. Yeah, but bless. And I got something. She going to do it. She came home and said, girl, God mad at you. She said, what you mean? I said, I'm sure you. I'm going to sit on the sofa right by the front door. Now, you walk past like you're going to go to work, okay? And she walked back, and I said, dog. And she told me, why are you so angry? I said, oh, that's God. He's standing there. He's standing right there by the sofa before you go ahead and do it. He told me, come, let me have a little bit of fellowship with you. And she said, ooh, Brother John, that's wrong. Now, see, you made me feel bad. Now, ever since you told me that, every time I give it a walk out of the door, I can visualize Jesus in my soul. Hey, child, come over here and talk to me another couple minutes before you go to work. You made me feel so bad. And she's been doing it for the rest of her life. I love her. Bless her little heart. But anyway, so prophecy is for the purpose of the Holy Spirit. He instructs us what's good for us and what's not. And he will meet our needs, but he want a personal relationship with you. He want a personal relationship with you. Like, you want a personal relationship more so than you have with your mom or your dad kind of a thing. That's the kind of, so he can talk to you. Because sometimes Jesus, tell her this, tell him that kind of thing. So I told him about it many times, but they ain't hearing, you know. And then, so you got to open up your spirit to hear God. Just tell him one night, Lord, I'm willing to dedicate myself. I want to hear you. I'm tired. I know you speak to me through my Bible, the word, but I want to hear you personally too. And I know all two of you are trying to get me to hear you. I'm talking to you, Holy Spirit, and I'm talking to you, Lord Jesus, and both trying to communicate with you, but you don't know when they're speaking to you. And remember this, whatever your mind come in and tell you to do something, whatever, just remember that sometimes it's the flesh, sometimes it's the devil, and sometimes it's the Lord. You have to know the word of God to know who's talking to you. Now, the next one is the word of knowledge. I talk about prophecy. When God prophesied to you, go tell this person that you need to stop this. Go tell that person they need to stop that. You need to stop this and you need to stop that. Tell your sister, tell your brothers, tell your husband, tell you, and you be them words be coming out and you go, and that person knows the Lord. But a lot of us are, see, he be mad at me. That man will slap me down or that woman will cuss me out. She think I'm some religious, but and besides, I love them. That just put me on the bad list with them. They think I'm some religious fanatic. See, then you go, Lord, well, I can't use her. I'll go elsewhere. All right. Let me see. I got 15 more minutes, 7:30, 8:30 to 9. Okay. I got 15 more minutes. So that's the word of knowledge. God, well, I can break it down this way. Instead of seeing a whole bunch of scenarios, I can say this. The following is a brief list of biblical support and example of how the word of knowledge works. Because that's what you need to know. I don't need to flower it up and everything else. Then get to the nitty-gritty. I'll just go to the nitty-gritty now. Now, when you have the word of knowledge, knowledge is knowing, right? Okay. When you allow the Holy Spirit to minister you with the gift of the word of knowledge, this is what happens. Names of people will come to your mind. You will know who that person is. And many times when people call me and Brother Emmett and be threatening us and stuff like that, I said, I know who you are. Your name is so-and-so-and-so. And you calling from the hotel with your quail. You got a quail sitting in your lap, and you talking about you going to come down here and kill us and all this stuff. You in the hotel, and guy starts screaming, hang up the phone, because he know that we're hearing God, because I told the person what his name was, where he was, their room calls, what's the name of the sister he's screaming, and these kinds of things. And he starts screaming. So the Holy Spirit, this is knowledge, because that's how he helped us. He let us know things. Names of people, he'll tell you that. Because sometimes we get threatened, the Lord will tell us who it is. But they don't know it. Sometimes we tell them to scare the pants off and say, you know what, man? I don't need to hear this. Your name is so-and-so-and-so-and-so. You live at so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Your wife's name is so-and-so-and-so. You got two kids, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. You are so-and-so age. And we tell them everything. Your social security number, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. Your driver's license, your car tag number, so-and-so-and-so-and-so. And your driver's license number, we just drive like this like that. And they be screaming and hung. It works. It's relevant to us today. You don't hear nothing about we have his written word. Are you hearing the Holy Spirit? Because he want to speak to you man to man kind of a thing. Or spirit to man. So when you got the word of knowledge, knowledge means knowing things. God would tell you the name of people or somebody call you and threaten you and you don't know who it is, the Holy Spirit, if he wants you to know, he'll tell you who he was, and you can go to, and he'll tell you how you can prove it, and you go to police with the proof in hand. Names of people. Somebody gang you, jump you, and beat you and know who it was, rob you. God, the Holy Spirit, tell you the person's name and tell you where the person lives. You go to police with that information. And the cops around the house put that joke in jail. See? Names of people. Okay? Now, the second thing is lost items. You got lost items. I don't know where I left that wallet. I don't know where I left that watch. Where in the world did I do so and so? And that was the hardest thing for me to do, you know, because I remember Brother Emma was doing that. I go, I'm going to try that. I know, because I was looking for something. I go, Lord Jesus. I said, Lord, could you please tell me where my watch is? I forgot where I took it off, where my car keys is. I don't have the slightest idea. And then I'd be walking all around the house, show me where it is, Lord, please, 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 please. The Lord just left me. And then nothing happened for a whole lot. Oh, Lord, I guess you're mad at me, huh? I said, now let me see what I did. I don't know. So I said, I tell you what, I'm talking to the Lord or the Holy Spirit. I don't know which one. I go sit on the sofa, Lord Jesus, if I offended you in somewhere, through my actions, my words, my thoughts, I ask that you forgive me. I repent right now. I repent. And Holy Spirit, if I offended you too, I'm so sorry. You know, I repent. You know, I'm an old man now. I'm 80 years old, and I'm getting old now. I'm forgetting a lot of things. Somebody said, don't put your hands on your boy. Now, you remember now, I'm just an 80-year-old man. I can't remember where I put things. And before I knew it, a thought come to my head. And I go, what? I go out there and go outside in the garage, and there's the keys to the house that I left in there, because the key to the house and the key to the car is on the same chain, you know. And I forget I left the key in the car. And it said, look in your car. So I said, somebody tell me to go look in the car. I said, that sounds foolish, but I go, doo, doo, doo. And there it was, laying in the passenger seat. I said, oh, Lord. So I take the fancy now. That's what I do now sometimes when I can't find things. And it might be 10 or 15 or 20 minutes before I get the answer, but the thought of coming to me and showing me where the thing is. Then, with the word of knowledge, and so you said knowledge, that means knowing things. That's me. God will tell us who likes us, who doesn't, who's our enemy, because some people will be ready to say, yeah, child, we love you, we're the best of friends, but they're enemies, and they're telling you secret stuff that you tell them, you know, you confide in them, and they tell the person, they say, guess what she's doing, guess what he's doing, y'all, these kind of things, and people know your business, you don't even know it. Another reason for the word of knowledge, that's the Holy Spirit, bless you with the word of knowledge, you would know things, you would also know how your relationships. Does he really love me? Does she really love me? Is my child lying to me? Is my cousin a drug addict? But I don't know for sure, but you know, I don't know, but I suspect it. God will tell you. Relationships reveal. They tell if that relationship is really real and loving, or just a put on just to get your money or whatever. She want to be with you because you can take care of her, but she don't love you, but she want to play you. So she find that house and car you drive and everything else, and that's what it's all about, and vice versa. Also, the Holy Spirit, write that down here, address reveal. The Holy Spirit tell you what person is. Suppose God jump you, and you know him personally. He slapped you, you know what, out of you, or say something nasty to you, or snatch something from you, and then he go home on the other side of town, and you say, I wish I knew where that sucker lives. I go over there, boy, and tell his mom and his daddy, so on. I tell the police, you know, tell him where he did and everything else. God will tell you, because God tell us, most cases, tell the rooms, they joke us. These so-called so-called Christians, you know. I mean, they already, I'm talking about Christian men and women in the church that sit there every Sunday. You know, they're not holy. They just, some just regular Christians who you think is high power Christians, you know. And you didn't know that Deacon so-and-so was doing this. You didn't know that Mr. so-and-so was doing this. You didn't know Mrs. so-and-so was doing this. I'm talking about the whole ram from the brass on down to the janitor, okay? And God, when they come up to you and say something, God lets you know right off, you know, where they're coming from, so you won't be playing. Relationships reveal. Some people relate to you because they want to be seen with you, because that'll kind of up them, you know, and everything. And then address reveal, I've mentioned that. You and the Holy Spirit tell you where people live when you need to know, when you need to know. And then secrets will be revealed. Some of your own family members got secrets that they don't want you to know. But if you have a need to know, the Holy Spirit will tell you, especially if they're going to harm you in some way. But he ain't going to tell you, guess what, something's going to, the Holy Spirit is not going to tell you. when the Holy Spirit reveals something to you, it's for your benefit and for that person's benefit as well, because that person can see the reality of God. So the word of knowledge comes. He tell you where a person live with the name, whether they're playing you, or whether they cheat, or whether they're homosexual, or whether they're straight, whatever. The Holy Spirit tell you. You don't have to mingle with them for years. And then I got the word of wisdom. I got the last two, word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, let me see, did I write it? Okay, here we go. God speaks through the word of wisdom. Now, you know wisdom means smart, sharp. So in other words, when you have a problem or a situation you don't know what to do, the Holy Spirit tells you exactly what you need to do. To be more specific, the word of wisdom is an appropriate, instantaneous insight, y'all, for a particular occasion to make a right decision. Because you have, oh, Lord, what else should I do in this case? Lord, could you help me, please? I don't know how to handle this problem. I don't know how to handle the situation. Never had. And then you ask the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will tell you a word of wisdom, tell you, do this, my child, do that. And you be, man, you just breathe out. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. And he'll tell you whether the thing is evil or not. And he will tell you what you need to do to resolve the situation you're in. See? And wisdom is also associated with fearing the Lord. In other words, you're supposed to fear the Lord. Most of these folks who call us around and tell me, y'all too holy for me and this kind of thing. And besides, why don't I like you? Because y'all be telling me, what are you doing? My wife may find out about it and everything else. And you know what the Lord tells us? They fear their wife more than they fear me, God. And I hung on to that one. So when they call, I'm coming down there, ball jack you. You ain't got no business doing this. And what I do is my business, not yours. So I say, you know what? You fear, because my wife may find out, and I don't appreciate that. If my wife find out, it's going to be me and you. And I say, you know what? What? I say, you fear your wife and man more than you fear God. What you mean? I say, because if you fear God, you're going to say, Lord, God, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, see what I'm doing. I'm up in this hotel, and I know doggone if I die right now, I got to go here and say, depart from me, you work of the grave, never you. But they all, when they call and try to pay us money, don't tell them. I said, no, don't tell your wife your business, man. I'm just telling you your business, and God wants you to get right. Well, I'll do what I want to do, you know, this kind of a thing. I said, you know, that's your problem. You don't fear God. You tell me you're a Christian. You ain't no Christian. You don't fear God. God, you can die going home today in your car, you know. The word of wisdom is God be telling you how to be smart. And what should I do? Is he like this? How much is 5 times 5? And you go to teach 25, my child. You know, so you go to the Lord, and you have some trouble with the bills or whatever, with a situation in the job. God will tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit will tell you what to do. The Holy Spirit. And then the last one was the gift of tongues. God speak with us through the gift of tongues. Sometimes I may be in the cab, and the cab driver might be in front of me, and I'd be going, shikiriyaneka taparasokoliyaneka. And you know what? I'd be talking to that cab driver, that Spanish cab driver, I didn't even know it. He said, thank you so much, sir. I said, what you mean? I didn't know you could speak Spanish, but you know, I had this problem. You tell me what I need to do. I said, really? He said, yes, sir. He said, thank you so much, big guy. I said, well, I don't know what I said, sir. I was just speaking in tongues. You know, that kind of a thing. I'll be in a mixed church congregation. 1,200 people in that church, and they're all mixed denominations, races and everything else. And sometimes I'd be praying real low, and I'd be, so, and I'm speaking Italian, don't even know it. And the woman sitting next to me telling me, praise the Lord. You know, I was asking the Lord about a certain situation, and I didn't just know what to do. And you know what? The Lord was speaking Spanish to me. You were speaking Spanish, telling me what I need to do. I don't know how you know my problem. How did you know my personal problem? I don't know you. I said, honey, I thought I was just praising the Lord. She said, Lord have mercy, you know. So I got 3 minutes left. And so the gift of tongues are relevant. And everybody asked me to prove it, so I close with this. I tell everybody to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. And verses 1 Corinthians the 13th chapter, it says, First Corinthians 13th chapter, verses 8, 9, and 10. When you go home, look that up. Verses 8, 9, and 10. 8 says, love never fails, but there are gifts of prophecy. We talked about that when God speaks to you and tell you things about people and what to say to other people. They will be done away. He said, they will be done away. Okay? They didn't say it has been done away. And then if there are tongues, they will cease. If there are knowledge, it will be done away with. See, the devil got everybody focusing on tongue has ceased. You know why? He said, tongues, they will. You know, and I was talking to one of the pastors that really know we were shouting. He said, John, just pray in English. That's what you mean. He said, read it again. I said, tongues or prophecy, they will be done away. And if there are tongues, they will cease. And if there's knowledge, it will be done. And then when I look in the New King James Version, some say will or they shall. And he says, you mean to tell me you're a college graduate and you don't know the difference between will and has? And everybody, I said, well, that's what they're all saying. He said, look at it. And I go, oh, my God. And you know, it doesn't say has, it says will. And then when you look at verse 9, it says, and we know in part. That's not, we don't know everything. So God uses tongues in all to minister us. He might use the pastor to speak in tongues to give us a message to somebody or give the interpretation, and the Lord be speaking to the pastor and that interpreter, telling us things that the pastor wasn't aware of. And so did you hear any preacher tell me, have you seen? Knowledge has ceased. Knowledge has ceased. And then everybody said, man, you foolish, I don't know what. I'm going back from the first century. You mean all the education we know now, all the health plans, means of transportation, all the different subjects, all the different types of buildings and architect and everything else. You mean knowledge has not ceased? And the devil goes, duh, you know, kind of thing. So he don't use that. You know why he used tongues? Because when you're speaking in tongues, it's not you. It's the Holy Spirit. When I go, I don't know what I'm saying, but that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, sometimes people say, man, John, you praising the Lord. I say, I didn't know. I was just saying, he said, well, you're saying, thank you, Lord, for saving me. I said, well, but sometimes God would bless me. When he had me to speak in tongues, he would give me a language with somebody right next to me, know that language, and they could tell me what I just said. So it said tongue has. It didn't say tongue. It didn't say has. It says tongues will. Will is, I mean, I call my English teacher. That's what the heck of it. I said, tell me what that word will. You know, she said, well, you look at the King James Version, it says will. And you look at the New King James Version, it says shall. And what that means, he said, both shall and will. You can look it up in any English dictionary, whatever, you find out it's future tense. It's not present tense or past tense. It didn't say has, it says will. I thought you'd know English better than that, Mr. John. I said, excuse me. I said, yeah, but I want to hear from you. You're the expert in English. You know, and I wrote all her grammar rules right there in my book. I got it in my tablet, talking about why it's will and shall is future tense, not past tense. And it says, and because he got that, because right now Jesus doesn't live with us. And I got to go. I see the thing says 10:01. God bless you. And I enjoy speaking with you. And God bless you. And y'all have a good night. And until next time, love you in the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Good night.